your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments where we really did just focus on the precious metals market as we chatted with Adrian Day. We're going to shift our focus a little bit now to the broad U.S. equity markets as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor over at the Lion Share Pro website. One thing I should note, too, is that Dana is doing a Black Friday sale, 35% off the Lion Share Pro website. This is the biggest sale that Dana runs every year. And Dana, I have to say, throughout this year, and we have you on about every 2 weeks, you've been spot on when it comes to the U.S. equity markets and other sectors. We've looked at international markets. We've also talked about the metals markets. You don't care what you invest in. You just go to your models and make sure your models are pointing to a more bullish outlook. And yeah, as I said, boy, oh boy, you have been pretty much spot on this year. So kudos to you. But hey, let's follow up on this and start off with the U.S. equity markets. This week, shortened trading week, the market's relatively flat. We are recording this late in the day on Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. The argument being for some of these U.S. equity markets is that if they're not up every week, people start to say, oh, the momentum is waning. Maybe a top is in place. Last time we had you on, just a couple weeks ago, though, you did outline a more bullish outlook for these markets. What are you seeing now, Dana?
Yeah, that's right. First off, thank you for the kind words. Much appreciated. As far as the market, yeah, we have been lining up for a after the much talked about two-way market, the sideways market that we're in since basically late spring. We had been lining up for a nice intermediate term low and more of a sustained breakout and up move. We still think we're lining up for that. There have been some flies in the ointment, despite most of our quantitative measures being in a bullish stance, as there always are. There's always something to worry about, which, as I mentioned before, that makes the post-election rally of last year so unusual. There was nothing to complain about. Everything was pretty much aligned to the bullish side, at least after the rally got going. It caught a lot of people off guard who were not expecting it going into the election. They were expecting chaos. But once that got going, everything was clicking on all cylinders. Now, last time we talked, we did outline a bullish scenario, which I think is still shaping up there. That, as I mentioned, there are always some things to worry about. One thing at the time I mentioned a couple of weeks ago was high yield. The action in the high yield market was not very constructive, and it remains unconstructive, hitting new lows for the last several months. So that was one area that has been, that was a bit of a red flag that we weren't necessarily ready to blast off yet. Another, for us, the most important fly in the ointment was the fact that our quantitative model, well, it looked like it was about to turn bullish. And again, it's an intermediate term model. So basically, the signals are like from 2 to 8 months in general. And that was mostly bullish, except for one key breadth indicator, which refused to budge. And indeed, we've seen markets pull back over the last few weeks, despite that much, that transparent, obvious breakout in the small cap averages a couple weeks ago. We pulled back over the last few weeks. And just a good reminder to me that the quantitative, our objective quantitative models are always smarter than we are as we see things. We're not immune to human natural feelings as investors. And that's why we designed the models to be, you know, quantitative and objective. And they were giving us a heads up that that not all the breadth signals were lined up for, you know, escape velocity. We're not ready for that sustained breakout and new up leg in the bull market just yet. And we've seen breadth deteriorate since then. We're seeing proliferation in new lows, which is a concern, a genuine concern. One caveat is that there are about 60% more issues traded now than there were about 16 months ago. So the number of new lows is not as concerning as the percentage of new lows, but it's still elevated. So still something to concern about. Like I said, there's always something to worry about. And right now we do have a couple things, but overall, we are still aligning ourselves for that next bull leg up. And we've been buying some more on this recent dip and covering some of our hedges as well.
Well, Dana, when you see the market breadth being not as healthy, and some have said it's, the markets are racing to new highs in the indexes, but on a deteriorating foundation, and when you see the number of new lows rising and the percentage of new lows rising, but at the same time, you mentioned that run in the small cap stocks that started, and it seemed like a pretty obvious setup. It had based for a long time. Could there be a rotation out of some of these larger index names and some of these high flying mania stocks into the smaller caps? And would that address all of those issues, the market breadth? Would it take some of those struggling small caps and boost them up? Could that be a trend that we see develop?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. One thing that we have been seeing, you know, almost all year is this constant rotation where you've had in favor areas of the market for a while is technology and healthcare. Then those went out of favor. You had some new leaders take hold, financials and materials, consumer discretionary, what have you. And you've had this ping-ponging rotational effect going on. And certainly that could be one thing we're seeing now. We certainly saw those large cap averages, the NASDAQ, the large cap growth indices, several of those indices running into even earlier this week, even almost now, running into some of those at least short-term Fibonacci extension lines from the recent correction, which just an indication of short-term extended status, even as, you know, the breadth was indicative of more, maybe more broader and smaller cap pullback in those areas of the market. Now, as you mentioned, that obvious and well-publicized breakout in the small caps and broad market a couple of weeks ago, which I would say is not, despite the pullback of late, that has not been nullified. I think all we're seeing now is a unsurprising pullback in an immediate failure in that breakout to pull back and test that breakout level, or at least test the launch level in those broader and smaller and mid-cap averages. So not unusual to see those quote-unquote breakouts fail, at least in the short term, and come back and test those breakout levels or launch levels. And we would argue probably gearing up for at least a successful test, successful hold, and then maybe a more sustainable launch going forward, which presumably would be associated with or accompanied by, you know, improving breadth statistics and manifested better breadth, better internal statistics, and maybe rebuild that foundation underneath the market. So we would not be surprised, certainly, to see that. And in general, despite the more recent breadth concerns, and on a longer term scale, still the breadth picture is pretty good. It's like looking at the a bigger picture of the indices. You know, overall, we're still getting higher highs, higher lows. So in short term, yeah, it has been a concern. In the grand scheme of things, nothing has changed our mind that we're still in an intermediate term bull market here.
Dana, how do you see investor psychology and where investors are interested right now? Because it does still seem like, look, money is staying within these markets, and I think it's hard to say that investors are scared, because it seems like, look, everything is going fairly well. I realize the breadth is not up there for these markets, but when I look around, places are busy, and investors are still taking, I think, very much a risk-on attitude. What's your assessment of what's going through the head of investors right now?
Yeah, that's a good point. I would say, you know, on a short-term basis, maybe the most helpful analytical tool is indeed investor sentiment. You know, that was probably one thing that contributed to, you know, the rug being pulled out of that, that obvious small cap breakout a couple of weeks ago, is the fact that, you know, despite the pullback in September, people jumped back on that rally really quickly. in October, and we saw the breakout. Everyone was talking about the breakout, which whenever it's talking about it, you know what generally happens is it, like I mentioned before, it typically fails, at least temporarily. So I think investor sentiment did get a little bit too complacent again, which again contributed to the recent pullback or the ongoing pullback that we're seeing right now. Just to reset investor sentiment a little bit, we are seeing finally a bit of an uptick in cautiousness and investor fear. We're still not at bottoming levels or capitulatory levels or anything like that, but at least we pulled back from, you know, those ultra complacent, ultra bullish investor sentiment levels that we saw a couple weeks ago. So and this kind of back and forth market does tend to contribute to more subdued investor sentiment when people don't genuinely believe in breakouts. Then they are more apt to be successful. So maybe the next breakout attempt that we get, maybe it won't be as highly publicized. Maybe it won't be as embraced by the investment community. And if that's the case, it's probably more likely to succeed.
Well, Dana, just real quick on the idea of sentiment. We hear that tossed around a lot, that term, investor sentiment. How do you actually measure it? Are you looking at volatility indexes? Are you looking at daily sentiment index readings? Are you looking at true strength indicators? How do you quantify sentiment when you're using your quant methods?
Some of the favorite indicators that we use, some of the ones that you mentioned, some of the volatility markets, some of the volatility measures, especially as it applies to the term structure of volatility markets. So where are they buying the fear? Is it the front month when it gets jacked up in the front versus the longer dated volatility measures? Then that's a better sign of fear. So we like to watch the term structure in the volatility market, like to watch the equity options market, which has been, pretty subdued for basically all year. We haven't seen that much put activity on a relative basis. We've seen a small uptick in that over the last few days, which is good. But we like to watch equity options market. We like to watch action in the inverse ETF market. So how much are investors hedging? Obviously, when they get super scared, then they embrace those inverse ETFs. And when that activity gets up to certain levels, that's a pretty reliable bottoming indicator. So and then there's some other money flow type of smart and dumb money, quote unquote, money flow type of indicators that we watch and that we've quantified that also are helpful. So, it's a combination of those. Nothing ever works perfectly, every time. So, but if you watch a combination of those, you get a pretty good sense of at least short-term investor sentiment.
So Dana, before we get you out of here, real quick, I just want to know how you are viewing this sell-off in the precious metals. It's been a bad week for gold, silver, the underlying stocks. How have you been trading that sector?
Yeah, it's like a lot of the underlying areas in the market. You look at the S&P, hasn't moved much, but there's a lot of activity, a lot of volatility underneath, and whether it's from the broad, small cap, mid cap averages pulling back, to volatility in technology, financials, and energy were good buying opportunities, we think, in the last week or so. Same thing in the precious metals complex. So we did add some exposure back further into that pullback in the beginning of the month in both SLV. We trade ETFs for our clients, so in both SLV and GLD, bought some more exposure then. Gold miners and silver miners bought some more exposure. Then we rallied up into some technical resistance. We're still overall in a trading range, so we want to be trading the precious metals complex. So took some profits on that a week or two ago, and just yesterday and today buying some of that exposure back in GLD, SLV. You look at the gold miners, GDX, silver miners, SIL, buying a bit of that exposure back after taking some profits a couple weeks ago. So they're still trading markets for us. in the longer term, we do have a bullish bias towards those. So we want to be certainly be buying the dips and the technical support, which we think we're at least near there now.
Okay. Dana, always great chatting with you. Thank you for sharing your insights on these markets as we set up to turn the corner into next year. We still have to deal with December, but boy, oh boy, this year has been already very, very good for U.S. equity markets. And on the back end of this, not very good for precious metals investors. Maybe we'll see a different environment 2022, but we'll definitely be chatting with you and keeping up to date. Remember, Dana is running that Black Friday special over at the Lion's Share website. I will post a link to that within the weekend show posting. Dana, again, thank you for your time this weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.